Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a school trip to the Edinburgh Vaults leaves school children with an experience that will haunt them for the rest of their lives. What happened in these vaults, and what do these spirits want with the living?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email an audio file to us. Just send it to Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. Support our program, get all the bonus episodes ad-free, and all the advanced episodes as well ad-free. All you got to do is sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. To get all that, $5 a month to get access to all that goes to help keeping this program on the air. So basically what it costs for a cup of coffee, you are playing an integral role in supporting this program and keeping it alive, because that's how things roll these days. It's very much, you like it, it will survive if you support it. And you guys have been doing that for many years, but as things go, some people, they lose interest, they lose their support, new ones come on, and we always kind of have that cycle of folks discovering, loving. Some have been here from day one. So if you like the show, please do consider becoming an extra podcast person, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Our dog over there.
I knew you were going to comment on this.
We have two dogs in the room with us. Sting, the golden retriever, is right down by our feet. And then we have the German Spitz over there, who likes to perch on things. And he likes to perch up on this chair in my office, but he weighs too much, so it pushes the cushion down and off. And he's cool with that now. He kind of uses it like a beanbag. But he lays on his back constantly with his legs in the air. It's how he always lays. Mm-hmm. And I want to take a cute picture of him because it's so funny looking, but it's going to look like dog porn because his thing is always like right there. And you can't like get away with the picture without it looking like this is kind of awkward. You shouldn't post this.
Yeah.
So Just Photoshop it out.
You can take one right now from this
he's
angle.
Hiding. He's hiding it with his paw.
He's got his paw on it.
He's Michael Jacksoning it.
Yeah. So. he's just a nut. I think he should walk around on his hind legs with a top hat all the time. That's just the kind of dog he is.
Well, he can walk on his hind legs.
Yeah, he can.
Which is kind of funny. And he used to do it better before he weighed so much, but he does it sometimes, but they were circus dogs at one point in time. So it's kind of fun. The tricks you can kind of get him to do. Yes. We're talking about you. Oh, now he's really showing off his goods.
Thanks, Bear.
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I have some other fun information about animals. That we'll talk about here in just a little bit.
Okay.
Another species. And the shit they'd like to do to you.
Okay.
So, stay tuned.
Is this disturbing?
It's called a teaser right there. It's a radio teaser.
Is this like how
weather
you were
next.
Informing me about octopus earlier?
75 and sunny today.
Okay.
When you do a teaser, you can't keep asking questions about it. You have to just tease it. And then move on.
I'm disturbed. Okay.
About octopuses. Yeah, I was educating you about octopuses.
Yeah, you were. And I still don't know how much of it's bullshit because I haven't had a chance to Google check you.
Is that like part of your day? You just go around fact checking me?
Sometimes, yes.
I'm usually right.
There's a lot of times you say bullshit and then walk away.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
If I say bullshit, though, I'm usually, I laugh about it or I...
Like, or you walk away so that I can't see that you're starting to laugh.
Well, name one thing. Name something that I've left your area without you knowing if what I said was real or not. And it turned out to be fake. Name one thing.
I can't off the top of my head.
Never done it.
Yes, you have. No, I tell you shit all the fucking time, Tony. I do,
but I never leave you with it. I never leave you with that bullshit and then just end the conversation. I may let it linger for a little bit, but I will linger too. You have to let it linger. You have to let it linger. Mm-hmm. I don't feed you some bullshit story that I find amusing and then walk away.
There's times, though, where I believe something you said and it ended up being bullshit.
Not that I wasn't right there to correct.
Okay.
If you have one, tell me.
I don't have one off the top of my head. There's so many because we've been married for so long. Yeah. So.
But no, octopuses are, I could be off on the number of this, but they have several stomachs and several brains. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact numbers. I think I gave you numbers this morning.
You did.
I think it's three brains.
That's what you said. And you said eight stomachs.
It could be reversed or something. Uh-huh. I learned about it on CBS Sunday Morning.
Okay.
This last weekend. And I found it really interesting of how intelligent octopuses are and how they, the different brains and how much they're.
I'm pretty sure we're not saying the plural of octopus.
Octopi?
Yeah.
I don't know. But they very, very intelligent, but they have such short lifespans. It's like 3 or 4 years on a lot of these. So then it's made me start to wonder, and I didn't Google this, but they were talking about an octopus in a tank. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, well, like, what about like those man-eating octopuses from like Moby Dick and shit like that?
Okay, that was not Moby Dick.
Oh, it was in that era, whatever it was.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm not good on my literary history.
Not at all.
But you know, old tales. And I know, like, they've found fossils of massive octopuses and stuff.
Giant squid?
Squids.
Yeah.
Did those have that short of lifespans, too, when they're that big? Or, because I'd always assume, like, well, it took them years to grow that large. But I suppose if your parents are that big, it's all relative to how big you are.
I don't know.
This is the shit I think about. Mm-hmm. Try to figure it out. But someday we'll know. If octopuses live longer than 3 years, someday we'll know. Why the sky is blue, someday we'll... That was the other song from the New Radicals. They had the You Get What You Give.
Uh-huh.
And then they had a follow-up called Someday We'll Know, which was a better song, in my opinion. Didn't get much attention. you'd like to go back to your 1999 music history,
mm-hmm.
there you go. Check it out. They had one album. Singer got sick of publicity. Quit.
Okay.
That's, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a letter. It says, hi. Oh, that's the wrong button. Hi, my name is Rose. I'm 18 and I'm from London. I've been brought up to love all kinds of horror and supernatural-based phenomena, as many of the relatives on my mom's side of the family have experienced various harmless but also more malevolent occurrences, some of which I might set up in the future. Up until this story, which happened in August this year, I have never had the slightest feeling or sensation of paranormal activity, which led me to become more skeptical in recent years, despite wanting to believe badly. This, however, changed my mind. I went on a school trip to Edinburgh with some friends during summer, and while we were there, we decided to do a tour of the Edinburgh vaults. These are a series of rooms connected by tunnels that lie under the streets of the city and were used in the past by very poor people, as it was illegal to be homeless in the late 18th to early 19th century, I think. If you imagine the typical description of a dungeon, stone, small rooms, pitch black, dripping water, you're along the right lines of what this place looks like. You can Google them and see. These rooms would be home to hundreds of poor people living in confined spaces, as well as some of the most dangerous criminals of the time who came down there to escape the law. It was the darkest, grungiest place I've ever been to, and we only had our phone torches to light a small area in front of us. Anyway, as soon as we went down there, my friend turned around to me and looked very strange. She told me she felt violently sick and like someone weighed down her entire body. I still didn't buy it. Our guide then took us into one of the vaults where a coven of witches had practiced their art and at one point accidentally released a dark spirit, which they kept held in by placing a circle of stones on the floor, which is still there today. It is said that people who enter the circle receive various inexplicable scratches and bruises, and in 2014, a man even had a heart attack and died while in the stone circle. Then, towards the end of the tour, we entered a room where we had to hold hands and turn off all the lights, as this was where the activity had always been strongest and was most dangerous. My other friend, who was a huge skeptic, suddenly turned and said, "I don't want to freak anyone out, but something is holding my leg. I can feel it there." Up until this point, I felt completely fine, but as we were standing around holding hands, I felt as if I was having an out-of-body experience and realized that I was unable to move. The voices of our group around me suddenly became completely inaudible, even though I was standing right next to everyone. As I'm standing there completely paralyzed in front of me, it was like I could make out the shape of a woman's face in the darkness. She was pale, she looked tortured and very sad, and she was looking right at me. I've never experienced sleep paralysis, but I imagine that is like that, except that I was awake and standing up. I was so frightened but couldn't say anything or move, so I tried my hardest to zone myself back into the room and the real situation around me. And eventually I was back in the room. When we left, I was still unable to speak to anyone for 30 minutes despite really wanting to explain what had happened to me. It was the worst, most terrifying thing I've ever felt, and I have never felt such strong hate and terror for a place before. I'll never go back there and cannot even bring myself to look at photos online. Sorry if this is long, but I wanted to share it. I love your podcast so much. I'm trying to find more money to become an EPP. Thanks so much. I hope you share my story.
I had no idea a place like that existed. Where?
Really?
Yeah, I'd never heard of that. Where, you know, because it was illegal to be homeless, there was this like underground place where people would go and live. And I can imagine the kinds of things that went on, like what she alluded to. But
sure.
I am not surprised, though, with that kind of energy, getting that reaction.
Yeah.
Getting a physically violent reaction.
I can't imagine it's a very positive place to be. Mm-mm. And what do you think about tours like that? That, you know, I mean, I'm fine with the tour itself. It's just when you have, and this is the area where the darkest spirits reside. Everyone turn off your phone, you know, where it's almost like kind of inviting and have an experience. Is that, you know, I guess, you know, people, some go on the tour to have an experience, I guess. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it almost is like, I don't know. There's, I think there's almost like a level of circus sideshow and kind of disrespecting the dead and the spirits when you kind of turn it into that sort of a tourist, anyone can come and check this out moment. I feel a little differently about a location that rents itself out to be investigated because it's haunted when people are just trying to do research. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not so much circus sideshow feeling, because it's not just everyone can wander through here and have this experience. I don't know.
I think it goes back to intent. If your intent is to go for the historical education of seeing a place like this, that's one thing. But if your intent is to go and turn your light off and go where the darkest spirits are and try and have an experience, mm-hmm. that's, I think, a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll vary mm-hmm. depending on who's on the tour. Coming up in just a few minutes, someone with a story that needs some insight on the house that they're moving into. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, animals. We're talking about that.
Okay.
Cats, uh-huh. specifically. There's compelling new evidence that your cat might eat your corpse.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's new?
Well, you know, they're trying to figure it out because cats aren't usually scavengers. They're usually hunting living things. They're not usually going after what's already dead. That seems to be mm-hmm. in nature how they work. But it was a forensic, I don't know what it is, forensic something, with police work that they were trying to figure out or more so teach investigators what a body looks like after it's been sitting in a home unnoticed for several days. What's natural and what's not natural? What could be a sign of trauma mm-hmm. that would have caused the death? Or what is simply nature taking its course from decomposition to the family pet being involved? And they found something interesting with cats is that many animals, when they had like 40 cadavers essentially sitting on the floor of this house, many animals came and gone. They didn't have anything to do with the bodies. Cats, however, picked a body and they stuck with that body and they ate it down to the bone. Now they have 40 different bodies to choose from. Big buffet of bodies. Mm-hmm. And when the cat chose the body that they wanted, they'd have their snacks, go and do their cat thing. And they wouldn't go then to a different body. They go back to that very same body every time and try and finish that one off. They're like, oh, here's another body. They all smell like they laid claim to their body they found and ate it. So
that is interesting that they were like that. Because I was thinking, yeah, a cat's going to eat you if the owner's died and nothing's there to feed it. Nobody mm-hmm. knows the owner's dead. Yeah, it's going to start eating your face.
But many other animals had no interest in doing that. Cats are the main one that want to eat you. Dogs, not so much.
That's weird.
But your cat? Hungry.
Hmm.
So.
Just more proof cats can be assholes.
As if we needed more proof.
I love cats, though. But they can be assholes.
They can. Our cat is not an asshole,
though. No, he's like the sweetest cat in the world.
Ours is like the furthest from asshole cat I think I've ever had. And I've had some asshole cats. Mm-hmm. This one is like too nice. Almost like, are you okay?
Like, I know. Do you not know that you're a cat?
Yeah, it's like you're like a little too friendly. This thing, it'll literally come and give you hugs. Stand on its hind legs and hug you. If it's on a piece of furniture, it will try and hug you from there.
But we're not mistaking him humping for a hug. And he doesn't have his claws out, so it's not like he's sharpening his claws.
No.
He comes and he will wrap his extended claw pod hands, mm-hmm. arms around you, and just purr.
Yeah. Just stand there. No humping.
No.
I was walking into the house today, and he was out in the garage, and he was standing on, we have a cooler chest or a freezer chest right by the door, and he sometimes likes to sit on there. And he was sitting up there, and I said, hey, and I was walking back into the house, and I said hi to him as I was walking. And as I'm opening the door, all of a sudden, two paws wrap around the side of me. And he's trying to like hug me like up on my chest, like a person hug. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, buddy. You know, he's just a friendly little creature. I don't know that he would eat us.
I don't know. You can't trust him.
You're still like, fuck that cat. Keep him far away if I die.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter says, I need some insight on the house that I'm moving into. When I first went into the house, I felt calm, but curious, if that makes sense. I kept feeling a gravitational pull to the upstairs. I didn't feel dark. I just felt connected. I love everything about this house. A lot of little quirky things resemble my personality, so I really fell in love with it. There's a yin and yang outside built into the house, a crystal on the window that was left, and a tombstone in the backyard. I'm assuming it is a pet, let's hope. There are also tons of books left in the house. I'm a bookworm, an old piano, and several huge barrels in the basement. I'm not going to lie, it's kind of creepy, but I love it. I love the paranormal and anything spooky, and I can pick up easily on vibes from places, people, and things, so I'm also very excited to move into this house. It has a lot of personalities. Anyway, a few weeks went by, and I decided to look at the pictures of the house that I took again to kind of plan where I'm going to put everything. I was looking at the pictures of the dining room area, and I noticed a shadow in the window. I was the only one in the room, and it obviously didn't look like me. If you zoom in, you can see an outline of a person, eyes and a mouth, and what looks like a hat or bandana turned sideways. When I saw it, I didn't feel scared or negative. I almost felt responsible for figuring out who it is, if that makes sense. I showed my family and friends, and they all asked, what the fuck is that? I'm curious to find out. Any insight would be helpful. Also to add, when I was in the basement, my mother didn't want to follow me down, so I jokingly said, if anyone is here, let us know. I, of course, am not bothered by that kind of stuff, so maybe something is. Maybe a ghost or an angel. I don't know. But I do know I get a certain vibe when I'm in the house. The house was built in the 1930s. I did some research on the house in the area. I couldn't find anything alarming, but this photo did creep me out. I guess I'll know once I move in. Hopefully I won't have to have any negative stories to tell. If something does happen, I'll be sure to call in. Thank you guys for this outlet and any response to what you think it is. I just kind of want to get some advice before I move in.
I could not tell you what it is. I don't want to be liable for saying here's what it is. My guess would be that it's somebody else that had loved the home at some point during the, you know, lifespan of the home.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. And I would imagine that if you're feeling it now, you're going to definitely feel it when you're there every day. So it's just a matter of, are you...
There's the shadow.
Yeah. It's just a matter of, are you comfortable enough with whatever's there, living there, or being dead there?
I see it. Couldn't that just be the trees, the way that they're kind of aligned and kind of open?
I don't know. I almost think it's something outside looking in.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. That's what it appears to be.
Yeah.
It is certainly a darker mass. You don't see it in any other window pane.
Yeah.
Or any other portion of the tree. But that is the darker portion of the tree. And it does. I don't know. It is certainly clear.
Mm-hmm.
But it also looks like it could be explainable as well. Because that is the trunk of the tree. See, the tree's up there.
I see that.
There's trunk there. There's trunk there. It may, this photo may simply just be a, you know, that looks creepy, but it really is just, you know, how the picture is. I could imagine almost if you go back and take the same picture in the same spot, you're going to continually get that by the way that the branches have moved. But it's not to dismiss the feelings and everything, but when you have those feelings, you're looking for evidence.
I would say take another picture roughly the same time of day, same time of year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was recently, go back, take another picture and see if it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same type of level of sunshine and everything outside.
I guess, Mike, who leaves books? And we left barrels at our last house, but
but they were outdoor barrels, and they were not like in the basement containing bodies or anything like that.
So yeah.
Pianos, musical instruments. I feel like those hold a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, when they can play an instrument, that's an outlet for them. But music has such an intimate connection to people. I feel like that's an item that I would not want left in a property.
If it was left, would you think there's maybe a reason it was left? Not just because it's really difficult to move a piano, like a pool table?
I know that it could be that, but it's one of those things where I've had an antique, like an old, old antique piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that thing, but that thing did also creep me out. And I just think that if somebody's going to leave that, you better know what's the history, you know?
Or at the least, it better play itself.
No, no, you don't want it to play itself. I don't know. I just feel like people have a connection to an instrument when it almost becomes like part of them, that they're able to make music with it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense at all?
No, not really, but I'll just nod my head. And
thanks.
Make you feel good. Yeah. Yes, it makes sense. I get it.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those handful of objects that you could, if you had to like make a Family Feud list of what objects are haunting a house, you know, or have a spirit attached to it, you know, and you're up there and you got to hit the buzz, the thing, and mm-hmm. like musical instruments. Show me musical instruments.
It would be up on my list. It would be high on my list.
I think it would be. Survey says. It was survey says. That's how it.
Okay.
Did you watch Family Feud?
No.
I bet Ray Combs haunts the shit out of Family Feud.
Okay.
Remember Ray Combs?
No.
You just said you didn't watch Family Feud. So I gotta pay attention to the conversation.
Yeah.
Ray Combs hosted Family Feud. I think it was, I'm thinking of the right guy. I want to talk about like the guy who's like not the right guy. If I'm thinking right, he was the one who hosted Family Feud. Yes. In the 90s and 80s for a good chunk of time. But I believe he committed suicide in Wikipedia will tell me. He was struggling with a lot of stuff. He was only 40 when he died. Wow. Where's his death? 96 he died.
Okay.
But he's always a real happy, go-lucky host of Family Feud.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's pretty much, I think, how he will be remembered. I think he did some other, you know, game showy type stuff in his life, but Feud was kind of his thing. And I would think if you were the host of such a game show that still exists, you'd haunt the shit out of it. Yeah. I would attach myself to Family Feud if I was the host of it.
You would.
Okay. Why not?
Okay.
Make the board malfunction or something, or just the buzzer go off at random times. You know? That'd be great.
Yeah.
What's any stories like that? 833 or 855-853-4802 is our phone number. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online.
You're struggling.
I got to put my number board up here.
Yeah.
Make it look like the Family Feud board. You know, show me that number. Next letter says, in 1978, my parents bought a 30-year-old house, which was originally owned by an actress whose full name I will not reveal. Anne was her first name. She was famous in the 30s through the 50s era. Anyway, I was born in 1979, and from an early age, I remember a few instances where I was spooked. My first odd experience occurred one normal night when I was about 4 or 5 years old. For some reason, I awoke and got out of bed. I heard something in the kitchen, which was directly down the hallway from my doorway. I was very late. It was very late or early in the morning when I peered down the hallway. I saw a rabbit on our kitchen counter. Its eyes were bright and its body was almost see-through, like a projection. I was so scared and tired, so I just ran across the hallway to my older sister's room and slept there for the rest of the night. Sure enough, nobody believed me the next day. Over the next few years, I always heard noises in my closet and cupboards in my bedroom. And all the while living there, I always heard shuffling and pounding in a large walk-in safe in the downstairs part of our house. In the 10-year span living there, I always felt like I was being watched, and I would never go inside the house unless my parents or someone else was with me. When I got off the school bus, I would wait outside until my mom got home. It was not until my mother told me a few things that she probably would not have revealed had she known how I would react. I overheard my mother talking to my aunt about how the previous owner told her that an actor by the name of Anne had built the house. Even more interesting, the previous owners laughingly said that they would occasionally see her walking down the halls. Once my mother even admitted to me that she was home alone reading in the living room when she felt someone touch her on the shoulder. It was a comforting gesture, but scared her when she turned and saw no one around. I feared that house. When I was about 12, we moved to a house my dad built. Same city, but miles away from the old house. The first night staying there, I remember waking and looking out my bedroom window to see a white figure running down a lonesome road at a swift and graceful pace. Also, my beloved dog was in my sight, and he ran from the object with tail between legs. Not typical. This dog was a butt-kicking machine. It was weird, but I was able to fall back asleep the next day. Nobody took me seriously. The last incident happened shortly after. I remember just lying down in my bed. It was a matter of seconds before I saw this woman hovering over me. And she did not speak, but it was like she said, "I followed you." I laid there paralyzed, but managed to say, "Get out, leave me alone." I, ever since, have been totally ghost-free, knock on wood. Longer, maybe boring story for you guys, but real to me. All too real.
I'm wondering if it is the same ghost. You know, maybe she enjoyed watching her grow up and didn't want to lose that.
And then got the get out!
I know.
Ghosts are treated like shit sometimes.
They are.
Where it's like, oh, watching you, I'm not going to disturb you in this house. And then you move and I just want you to know I'm still here. I followed you. Get out of my... Yeah.
But she left her alone, so...
Yeah, went and sought ghost therapy.
Mm-hmm.
That would just be... Poor ghost.
Yeah.
I feel bad. Were you trying to figure out who the ghost was?
Yeah.
I don't know old actresses' names. I don't know current actresses' names.
I don't know who this would have been.
Any guesses?
No.
Orphan Annie.
Yeah, that's
little
it.
Orphan Annie.
No, I don't have any idea.
I do not know. Do you know actresses' names from that era? You watch some of that. You know, the older movies. More than I do.
Some, yeah, yeah. But not like, I don't know all of them.
You're not obviously a Turner Classics movie buff.
No, I'm not. Sorry.
Yeah. Interesting story. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. And don't be that way to ghosts anymore. They have feelings too. That's going to wrap up the program today. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. And EPP is what we call them. Go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up there. If you prefer Patreon, you can do it there too. Patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.